come back, but we just heard now that she is joining a special cabinet meeting. We will then continue. Can we first deal with the internal matters in terms of the attendance by members? Ms. Solomons, do we have
yes, Chair, in terms of members present, we've got yourself, Honourable Mashodi, Honourable Boshoff, Honourable Moimang, Honourable Brontesis, Honourable Apeni. Those are the members I see.
Okay. So, are there any apologies? Because I know there were also members in the morning session. So I don't know if now there are any apologies for those members.
No apologies that I received, Chair.
Okay. Can we then, the Chair of the Board, if you can please introduce your delegation?
And Chair, I'm terribly sorry.
Oh.
Chair, I'm terribly sorry. I am aware that Honourable Lobbs, I think, has to attend another meeting at the moment.
So oh, okay.
I'd like to put an apology in for him.
All right. Thank you very much,
Chair. Thanks,
sir. Honourable Chair. Yeah. Honourable Chair of the Board, and you introduce yourself and your team, and then you then make opening remarks. Oh, this is okay. Oh, no. Don't speak. Okay, Honourable Chair, over to you.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I am Siyabonga Dube, the current chairperson of the South African Tourism Board. Let me greet Chair and the Honourable Members as we are about to present our annual report for the year ended 2019-2020. With me, Chair, I've got the Deputy Chairperson, Advocate Mochangunyane Kumbi. There is our board member, Mayor Gloria Serobe, and Mayor Lindiwe Spangwensido. We are accompanied by the executive team, led by the Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Sisanchona. Yes, Chair, we are reporting amidst the prevalence of the pandemic, albeit the year that we are looking at is the 2019-20, which ordinarily would have been a year when South Africa will not have felt the full impact of the pandemic by the time we concluded the year. Notwithstanding that fact, members will recall that the first prevalence or the first identified case in Wuhan was around December 2019. And of course, as it moved through the rest of the world, it then began to have an impact on the tourism industry globally, but specifically in South Africa, because our core or source market were also then beginning to put in place various measures to manage the pandemic. So although we're not at full mode of the pandemic at the time, but already we could see the impact negatively affecting the arrivals coming through the country because of what was happening globally. And the report that we are presenting has been audited by the Auditor General. They have made various findings against the areas within which we need to strengthen our oversight, our monitoring, our controls. And as we report today, Chair, because of the time that has since elapsed since the audit was finalized, we will be also indicating the interventions and the actions that action plans that have since been implemented, the progress towards those and any positive results that may have already been identified as the period comes through to elapse. In terms of how we're going to deal with the presentation, I will hand over to the CEO who will introduce his team. They will assist in taking the committee through the actual presentation. And then at the end, board members and management will then come in either for a point of clarity or to further emphasize what was presented, and also to respond to the questions that the members may have as we progress with accounting to the committee chair. Let me put the chair and allow the CEO to come in.
Thank you very much, Chair of the board, and let me also welcome the other members of the board. Let me also now take this opportunity to then allow the CEO to present the annual report. After that, then we'll allow honorable members to ask questions, and then after we'll get responses. Thank you very much. Over to you, CEO. Let me apologize that I have a connection problem, so that's why I'm unable to put on my video.
Yes, good afternoon, honourable members. Good afternoon, Chair, board members of SA Tourism, and all the delegates. Thank you very much for giving us this opportunity to share with you our annual report for 2019 and 20. I know this committee typically focuses on the domestic or provincial rather issues, and will touch some elements on that side. I will be sharing a presentation with you that will has already been submitted to yourself, so we will take it as read and maybe just highlight some important areas there that may be for your attention. As the chair indicated, with me I am accompanied by the entire executive team of South African Tourism, which many of you are very familiar with, and afterwards we will then take any questions and any points of input in that time. So let me just show up the presentation and I will take you through that time. Thank you. As I said earlier on, is that the presentation has already been sent to the committee, so you are well aware of its contents there. Just highlight the contents and some of the areas that we will be covering. How it's actually structured, honourable members, is that we spend a couple of slides giving context of South African tourism, its mandate. Also as well, we'll touch a bit on globally, contextually, in the macro environment as to what's going on. And then thereafter, I'll head off to the area where I speak specifically about our APPs and give you a sense of which ones we have achieved, which ones are not achieved. I will then hand over to the Chief Financial Officer, who will take us through some of the financial issues, including some elements from the AG side of it, and then we'll close off the presentation, and then the full team is at your disposal for any questions thereafter. As I said, this really talks about what we do at SA Tourism, and I like to remind people, honourable members, that tourism is trade. It is trade. It is trade. It adds to our bottom line as a country. It adds to the GDP. It adds to our population as well, and also our balance of payments of forex as a country. So that's in essence the big driver of why the importance of tourism within the economy of South Africa as well. And these are just some of the elements or ways that we go about in order to achieve some of that. The chair of the SA Tourism Board already kind of gave context that 2019 was moving along well until the last quarter, essentially, when you're starting to see the impacts and consequences of COVID. Many people like to ask me that as well. We only went into lockdown in South Africa in 26th of March. But I think what is forgotten is that SA Tourism, this organization essentially, is an organization across many different jurisdictions. We've got 12 offices around the world, and one of them is in China, in Beijing, essentially. We saw the first impact of COVID essentially within the China space. And you could see already they went into lockdown already within mid-December And all of that was giving us a sense as to what was coming through, essentially, you know, from that perspective. Key here for us is just to contextualize that one of the areas most impacted, or rather impacted first, was our conventions bureau, the MICE business, meetings, incentives, conferences and exhibitions that is typically held at the big ICCs. We call this business bulk acquisition because with one conference, you can get 5,000 delegates, you know, coming to a location, let's say Durban, spending 3 or 4 or 5 days. Now, at the first waves of these COVID spreading, you know, starting off in China, we saw many cancellations coming from delegates in those particular markets who either did not want to travel, but even those as well that were not infected, impacted by COVID at that time, were not comfortable to go to areas that were coming from people that they did not know their origin. So it was quite interesting to see the warming up of the engine as it were before it actually impacted us as a country. Now, if you look at the full suite of results for 2019-2020, we were 4% down in terms of the previous year. We reached a target of 10 million. The previous year, we were 10.4 million. And yes, we ended the year 4% lighter there. Important to note, what I'd like to bring your attention to here is Africa, which is number 5. A reminder that Africa, the entire continent, contributes something like 74% of our total arrivals. So 74% of our total arrivals of 10 million comes from the continent as well. So you can see then the way down effect that if the continent is down 4%, it tends to kind of weigh everything else down. And you can see the correlation between the two, essentially, basically, from that side there. We also measure different elements, and nights, length of stay is one of them. So not only do we track how many people come in the country, but we also track how many days they spend in the country. And essentially, the longer that you can make people stay in the country, the more money they spend, and which basically contributes to the economy of South Africa. So that was quite something that we focus on as well. We also measure what we call bed nights. And bed nights are essentially the number of nights spent, essentially, in or number of beds utilized, you know, in South Africa on a daily basis, looked at over a 12-month period. And we are looking at paid stays, you know, within that space there. Now, what I'd like to bring your attention to in this slide is that whilst we may be 4% down in terms of arrivals, the length of stay, however, has increased by 6.7%. So what this tells us, basically, is though although we had 4% less people, those that came, we managed to make them stay longer in the country. And obviously, as I said, the longer you stay, the more you spend within the economy. The interesting element, however, is that the bed nights are 8% down. And when I give the definition of bed nights, these are places, beds that are paid for by people who visit the country. It gives you then a sense of the shift that is happening, that there are people coming. However, they're not staying in paid accommodation. Some are staying with friends and relatives in the country, and that goes over there, and are also coming up with other accommodation options, which don't necessarily attract by SA Tourism, you know, in terms of the normal retail hospitality side of it. So that's something we want to drill a bit deeper into, understand these people that are coming and where are they staying? What is the shift that we are seeing in the market? So they may not be spending money on bed nights, or else are they spending their funds into other funds? We are also responsible for domestic tourism. I touched a bit on the international, and this slide here looks on the domestic tourism. Just by definition, there are two elements of domestic tourism. There is what we call domestic tourism in its entirety, and this saw 28.2 million actual trips happening, which is a 63% increase from year on year. The element that sits within our responsibility as South African tourism is what we call domestic holiday trips, because the one above includes everything, you know, any form of movement, I think beyond 60 or 80 kilometer radius, essentially, gets flagged as a domestic trip. The one that we sit closely on, that we use all of our marketing and campaign efforts on, is to actually get people to travel for the reason of holiday travel there as well. Our target for the year was 2.7 annual trips. Apologies there. We managed to achieve 3.7 million holiday trips there, which is quite an achievement from the team. And I think the domestic unit has been on a high for some time. The Chief Operating Officer, who's also on the call, can elaborate a bit further to some of the sterling work that they did there in order to get the domestic tourism happening. The irony, however, is that now that we're in lockdown, all economies around the world are essentially relying on domestic tourism in order to lift themselves out of the pandemic environment as part of the recovery. It's about a confidence play that people start to travel within their own backyards first, and then over time, the more confident they get, they will start to travel outside from that perspective. Honorable members, since we are in the, as a country, in the space of dishing out results, yesterday was the turn of the matriculants who celebrated the results led by the Minister of Education there. Our results here is that we had a 62% achievement of our total KPIs. There are 37 KPIs in total. We achieved 23 out of the 37. We have this 11%, which were made significant progress. And by definition, significant progress means 90%. You're within 90% of your target. And unfortunately, we just couldn't close that gap. But this is really something to acknowledge, well, that whilst there may be 11% an achievement, 90% of them were achieved as well. And then 27% were the ones that we had not much success in, and we'll tend to give you some reasons as to how we got there and what it is that we're going to be doing from that perspective. So this is the summary then of the next couple of slides that I'll be taking you through from that perspective. I won't go through all of them, but I'll touch the ones that I think are quite significant, both the ones achieved and the ones that are not achieved as well. I'd like to start with the first one. One of the key focus areas is around staff engagement level. And in a review done about 3 years ago, it was understood, or rather identified, that the staff morale in SA Tourism was not at its optimum. The level of engagement was not really there, and we had to put in certain measures in order to get that up and running, because, you know, in terms of valuable asset, as it were, is actually our people. And I'm very happy to achieve here that we actually exceeded the annual target of the survey that we do, an index that we assess in terms of our staff engagement. It includes everything from, you know, set engagement levels, and including the quality of work they do, the support, the training, and I must say the management team did quite a lot to make sure that we've got fully fit and engaged, you know, people as a tourism across the entire globe in our different offices of the day. The second one is our labor turnover rate, which gives you a sense that when people are not happy, they would leave the organization as one of the key reasons there, and we managed to achieve that target, you know, from that perspective. Still sticking on the people side of it, what we didn't manage to achieve was the percentage vacancy rate, essentially. So essentially, how quickly were we able to fill up our vacancies? Now, once we have done well in our South Africa office, we did struggle a bit with our international offices in terms of filling up those vacancies. You will appreciate that the people that we employ, except for the country manager or the hub head in the foreign offices, are all non-South Africans. So as an example, in the Germany office, only one person will be South African, which is the head. Everyone else will be coming from Germany themselves. The challenge that we always have is that we now have to observe different laws in different jurisdictions. So in China, you would observe the Chinese law, in Germany, in the UK, in the US, in Nigeria, and so it goes essentially. So the recruitment ability or ability to recruit in those countries comes under pressure from time to time, as everything is not controlled or managed from the base, which is South Africa there. We had some issues in our offices in the South Europe hub, which is actually Paris, where essentially we also re-looked at the office itself, moved people around, and this unfortunately becomes one of those where at the beginning of the year you set yourself a target, but however, circumstances through the year, you know, push to you to say, well, maybe you should re-look at it and kind of bring some different application. So when the environment change, it is best for us to also change with that particular environment. And we'll touch a bit more, you know, from the COO side later on as to some of the things that we've done in order to plug those gaps from that perspective. This then looks at the next areas around compliance, unqualified audits. I think we are very happy of, you know, from that perspective. We received an unqualified audit with some findings, that have been indicated, and the chair said that we have some elements on that side there. The CFO will give a bit more detail in her report on the finances side, what is identified, what has been done to actually rectify it from that perspective. An area that bugs us a bit is the BEE level achieved, where we wanted to come up, the organization to be rated at level 4. We came out at level 8, and we're doing some significant work right now to make sure that we pull our socks up in this environment. And at times, it becomes the ability to show portfolio evidence of things that we've done and sometimes not been done. But if you can't show that portfolio evidence, well, it does not get counted. And I think those are just simply the rules. From that perspective, we have certain programs that we put in place, and I can give comfort to the committee here that this picture will change, quite soon from that perspective.
Well, you seem to be stuck here.
Theo, I forgot to give you time. So I suppose to have told you that you have 1 hour. So by 1:15, we should be done with the presentation.
Got you, Chair. Will do.
Okay.
No problem. Thank you. Then on that basis, in this slide, I think the notable areas over here that we've achieved our stakeholder engagement, these are quite important. Where we engage the sector, we put out monthly reports, we engage all of our stakeholders right across the board so that we can become a reliable and dependable source for information. This also includes our international offices, which includes our partners as well, who actually help us to sell and market South Africa to the world from that perspective here. This is part of the reporting element where we've said, well, you also need to come up with a dashboard, an electronic dashboard that anyone, including yourself, committee members, you are able to go into and get a sense on the level of activity that is happening on that side. This was partly achieved, as I said, we achieved 90% of it. What we didn't do was to launch it. And however, the material aspect of the work was done, is the launch that is outstanding, essentially. This one is a bit of red, as you'll see over it, and the next couple of slides are going to be aligned to it. Once you don't reach your arrival numbers, especially in the international side, anything linked then to arrival becomes, within the same space. So in this example, I said that we were not achieved our international arrivals. Well, then as a consequence of that, the spend by the people that traveled to the country was still not at the level that we had targeted at as the previous one. So these become almost a consequence of that one. And in this one, you say there's a linear relationship between spend and arrivals. When arrivals decrease or increase, spend is likely to follow, essentially. I think that's part of the observation, essentially, on that side there. Where we have a change, a move, essentially, from the traditional legacy type of marketing degree to move towards the digital space. And, the CMO and his team, Chief Marketing Officer and his team, have spent quite a significant amount of time and effort to really migrate us into the digital space. It is cheaper, it is more impactful, and it's more efficient in terms of being able to achieve that thing. And again, here you'll see that number of global impressions has really gone up quite substantially in terms of making sure that the world continues to see South Africa through the digital space, through your laptop, through your iPad, and your cell phone, essentially. We have a program that is called the SA Specialist, and it is basically a foundation program that anyone interested or wants to, have a sense of what is happening in tourism, can go and enlist, and it's done online, essentially. And you can better have a sense in terms of then, once you go through this program, you become what we call an SA specialist. And again, it's a foundation course for knowledge, or basic knowledge within about South Africa and the tourism industry as well. A great way to bring in new entrants and new people into the sector. One of the elements we track on a regular basis is geographic spread of international tourists achieved. Now, geographic spread, and particular emphasis for the committee members here, is you don't want to have a concentration risk of tourists only flocking in to one or two provinces. We've got 9 beautiful provinces, and we want to make sure that we spread people across the different provinces. So we do track, you know, the tourists as to where they go to as well there. Our target was 24% of tourists must be able to travel to other areas, basically, of the country, and we reached 20%, essentially, on this one. So there was an underachievement over here. Again, this can also be linked to when you've got less people arriving in the country, there's less people to spread, essentially, if I can call it that from the perspective. We also checked the seasonality index, and this basically is about saying we want tourism activities to happen throughout the year, not only in the peak season, but even in the off-peak season. So how do we make sure that we get visitors even in the off-peak season? And the team does a phenomenal amount of work to make sure that this continues to happen on that side. This is continuing on the thread of the brand work. We measure that. It's our biggest investment. And we make this investment in hard currency, in euros, in dollars, in pounds, in yen, in yuan, and everything else there, to make sure that South Africa is not forgotten as a destination. And it is also considered. And honorable members, this we compete. We compete for visitors, for tourists all the time. We are not at all entitled to all of them. So we have to show our best all of the time. So we do you know, track what we call the brand positivity, so that people that know South Africa, when they think of the country, how well do they see it as a positive space, and thus influences them in their decision, decision whether to come to the country as well. We also track what we call brand awareness. Are you even aware of South Africa? Random questions to ask people around the world over there. And it becomes an indication that, well, if people are not aware and we're doing a lot of investment, then maybe we're not doing it correctly. So therefore, we need to make some changes, you know, here and there and that side. So these two ones we track quite well. We are so angry with this. We missed this by 1%. We missed this by 1% as well. And as a team, I think they're still shedding their tears that the work that they've done, they just missed it by 1%. But it's the work that we continue all the time. Honorable members, I'm not going to spend much time over here. This is then on the domestic holiday trips, and I spoke about that one. Again, here you get your number of domestic holiday trips up, then the revenue that comes accordingly on that side there. This one then is now related to the domestic element side. So whilst the previous one I told you through was the international, now we're going to go through the domestic side. Again, it's all green essentially over here because you got your numbers right in terms of number of holiday trips. Everything else comes through, you know, quite positive on that side. The only area, however, is on the seasonality index for domestic. And I spoke about this one for international, is how do we get tourists to go to as many provinces. For domestic, it's the same year. We also push about how many domestic tourists we get to travel provinces as well. So if you're Gauteng, how then do you get you to travel to the Northern Cape, et cetera, on that side there. Our target year was 28. We did not reach our target, and it's something that we are also trying to focus on. The indications are good in terms of we get people to travel. We just now want to... SME work, inclusion, is something that is we're constantly focused on. And these two KPIs speak to that element. Number of SMEs participating in South African tourism trade show platforms. And these are both domestic and international ones that we participate in as South Africa. We always make sure that we've got space there, dedicated space, new product, new activities that we're always putting in front of the world to consider to travel to South Africa. Similarly, this is what we call hosting. So whenever we invest time, effort, and resources to bring in journalists, influencers, trade to come and sample and touch and see the products in South Africa, we always make sure that we've got SME inclusion on this one. And that's now becoming part and parcel of just how we do business at the South African Tourism. This one speaks to program 4, and this is our business event. And I spoke earlier on, this is the MICE space as well. I think key to note here, when I spoke about these conferences, that typical conference has anything between 2 to 3 or 4 year lead time. So you go and you bid now for a conference only happening in 2023. So it needs a lot of lead time, essentially. And on an annual basis, we always have a look at how many bids we are supporting, as an example, for international and regional business events. 115 was the target, and we hit it spot on. And the team essentially has done well in that regard to make sure that we still put our best foot forward. The unfortunate thing is that when we saw the cancellations in the first quarter of 2020, it was actually decimating the work that was done 3 years prior. And that was the unfortunate thing. But all of us in the world are essentially in the same boat, as it were. As you'd know, we've got two premium events, which is Meetings Africa and Africa's Travel Indaba. And one of the things we track there is productivity, which is essentially number of meetings held within that. So not only do we track the event, but do we have enough activities and events, essentially, from that perspective. Now, Meetings Africa focuses on the MICE industry. And as I said, in the MICE industry, we saw some pressure there, cancellation. We had a delegation from China. The event is to be held in... We had a delegation from China that essentially cancelled and could not participate in Meetings Africa. And I think that threw the whole event out of sequence over there, as many people were still not sure about the level of travel. And by the way, a month later, South Africa and many other countries in the world went into lockdown. And this was just simply the first part of it. This Travel Indaba then speaks to the Travel Indaba of 2019, because that one is held in May in that fiscal year. So 2019 fiscal year. And yeah, we had some changes here. The date of the regional Indaba had to be changed because it fell at the same time as the national elections in the country. And in here, we deal a lot with what we call international bias. And some could not make the revised time, and some of the cancellations essentially came from this. So when your buyer selection is not sometimes what the market is looking for, you won't get that attractiveness for people to come to that. Now, Program 5 talks about the tourist experience, the quality assurance side of things. Yeah, we track the number of graded accommodation. Grading is a standard that we want to bring through as a country. Just to remind everybody that grading is voluntary in South Africa. And the team there essentially does annual audits and sits whether it's 1-star, 2-star, up to 5-star. We do a lot of work with the provinces on this one to make sure that we can get the graded establishment to reach our targets, you know, from that perspective over there. Now, the graded establishment is also linked to the graded rooms, depending on how big the accommodation is. Sometimes you can get a B&B with only 5 rooms, or a hotel essentially with 300, 400 rooms. And I think that becomes a consequence of these kind of chatting with each other, basically, over there. We also do what we call the welcome training. And this is an awareness program that we drive at the State Tourism in terms of making sure that as many people that are associated within the tourism environment or other value chain are made aware of some of the initiatives on that side. This, we are talking about home affairs officials, whether you're speaking at the land board essentially, and even at times, you know, airport company officials, etc. here. And in this one, we are targeted to train 800 people across the country, and we dismally failed on this one and did not reach the element of 518. There are also some issues there in terms of making sure that we had the proper asset register, I mean, the attendance registers, in order to show that there's a portfolio of evidence. And that's one area that we looked at, saying, how do we improve and make sure going forward we don't have any issues on that side there. Okay. Honorable members, part of the elements that we've looked at in terms of making sure that we can rectify some of the issues that have been identified as underperformance in the year under review. There is the institutional architecture program, which is underway, and this then talks to repositioning South African tourism. As the environment changes, our business model also comes under pressure in terms of how we deliver our presence overseas and how we actually move towards making sure that we drive up the number of visitations. And this project is really driven by the Board of South African Tourism in terms of making sure that the next 5 years, essentially, we start to put the foundation elements in our day. The Tourism Performance Dashboard is, as I said earlier on, while not launched, is being incorporated into the Tech Hub, where there's a big move towards that digitalization. We've also recently appointed a Chief Digital Officer, who then sits with the responsibility of really taking the work that we do at SA Tourism into the digital sphere so that we can be spread far and wide and reach everybody, essentially, both as a consumer and also bring about visibility to the small areas of this country. And I'm talking about your villages, essentially, that previously were offline, now bringing them online so they become searchable and that they can have some form of business coming on that side, essentially. The recovery plan, I'm sure you'd have heard of this morning from National Department of Tourism, is something obviously that we've been engaging with the sector, led by the department, but obviously given a lot of input and elements essentially around bringing back international and domestic tourism. Then the world is changing, honorable members. The National Convention Bureau, we are now starting to look at how this is going to be delivered. Physical meetings are really something that are not happening at the moment, and we're looking at various elements around hybrid as well. And the Chief Convention Bureau Officer is also here, maybe to enlighten the committee as well as to the world of the future around convention bureaus there. Honourable members, I'm going to pause there for now, and I'll ask the Chief Financial Officer, Nombulelo, to take us through the financial side. Nombu?
Good afternoon, Chair and honourable members. I'll be taking you through the financial performance on slide 22, as well as the audit outcome, and those are on slide 27 of the pack. So according to our financials, the audited statement of financial performance, also known as the income statement, SA Tourism generated during the financial year under review just below 1.5 billion rand. And this amount was allocated to our five programs that were approved by National Treasury. So you'll see that about 152 million was allocated to program one, which is corporate support. And that program is aimed at supporting the other business units and making sure that we execute our mandate in terms of the four other programs. If you look at the audited amount, which is your actual expenditure versus the budgeted amount, there's a 17% variance. So it looked like it's an overspend on your annual budget allocation. And the reason for that is that our audited amount takes into account accounting adjustments in terms of GRAP, because we have to prepare our financials in terms of GRAP. So that's the accounting standard that we use. And included in the 152 million are non-cash items that relate to amortization, depreciation, as well as foreign exchange losses. And it's the unrealized portion that actually makes the audited figure higher than the annual budget, because when we consolidate our financials for auditing purposes, we need to translate all foreign denominated financial records into ZAR-based for reporting purposes. And then program two is our business enablement program. The main objective of this program is to provide a centralized place where tourism intelligence can be used to support evidence-based decision-making. So this is where you'll find the work, or where we find the work that is done by our insights and analytics team. What we invested during the 1920 financial year in this program was 79 million rand versus a budget of 80.7 million rand. And there was a 2% variance. And the reason for that, Chair, is that in quarter four, there was a decision to suspend a departure survey fieldwork, and that was due to COVID restrictions at the time. And then the third program, which is where our core business takes place and core activities takes place, is the leisure tourism marketing. And that's where the main focus of this program is demand creation. for both business and leisure side of marketing. We invested, and I'm talking about the actual expenditures, 960.9 million in this program. It's the most significant one out of the three. And Chair, you will see that there was a 4% variance. So our total investment was 96% of what we had initially budgeted. And the reason for that, Chair, is that we started feeling the impact. And I know Chairperson of the Board as well as the CEO has touched on that. We started feeling the impact of COVID in our markets in December. So in December 2019, there was a decision to scaled down on significant marketing, external facing marketing activities, and that led then to the variance from budget. And then in quarter four, that's where we really felt the impact, as there were restrictions in hostings and trade engagements. So that led then to your 96% expenditure of total budget. And then program four deals with business events. CEO touched on it, and the main aim is to grow the business industry in South Africa. And then out of the 180 million we had initially projected or budgeted for this program, actual expenditure was 178.8 million. So there was a 1% variation. And the reason for that, Chase, that in quarter four, in Feb, there was a strategic platform event that we had already budgeted for, but it was cancelled as a result of COVID in the third quarter of this financial year, and then it led to the 1% variance. If we then look at the last program, which is our visitor experience, so what's included there is the work, the grading work that we do. We had initially at the beginning of this financial year, we had projected just over 100 million as budget to fund activities in program five. You will see that we came significantly below the budgeted amount at around 77 million, which was 75% of total expenditure. And the reason for that, Chair, is that in quarter four, there was a decision to suspend all hostings, and as well as trade engagements. And it was because of the environment that we were operating in during that period. So it then led to actual expenditure being lower than what had budgeted. On a consolidated side, our total expenditure was 97% of projected annual budget. Next slide, CCO. So I'm not going to spend time on this slide, but it basically reiterates what I've said at program level. It gives the reason for variation at each program level, which I've already touched on. What I would like to do now, Chair, to go through slide 27 that deals with the audit outcome.
Apologies, I'll come back to this slide. It just somehow made it into the middle of the finance slide.
Thank you, CEO. So in the 1920 financial year, we achieved an unqualified audit opinion with findings. We had material findings in compliance, which I will deal with, but the audit also highlighted four key areas of internal controls that needed improvement. So the slide basically addresses the four key areas that we'll refer to in the audit report, as well as mitigations that we've done. And I'm going to give also the latest update of where we are in terms of making sure that we enhance and we improve the internal control areas that we identified as having material issues. So the first internal control environment that the Auditor General raised issues on was around the performance information side, and it related to our inability to provide complete and valid information to substantiate the actual performance that we were claiming when you look at our annual consolidated performance information report. And this was linked to a program 5 KPI that related to welcome training, where the auditors couldn't find sufficient audit evidence to justify the actual performance. So what we have done was to deal with the root cause. And part of it was to make sure that even on a quarterly basis, and instead of waiting for the end of the financial year, we are able to verify information in the standard that the AG would then accept as appropriate and sufficient audit evidence. We've gotten our internal audit function involved in quarterly reviews, and they review each and every KPI. In fact, in January, the AG team presented their audit strategy for the current financial year, and they've already indicated which programs they'll be auditing, and they'll be auditing program 3, 4, and 5. So we are making sure that whatever work is being audited by internal audit at least satisfies whatever will be audited at the end of the financial year. And then secondly, the other internal control area that was raised by the AG relates to supply chain management. The first one was the variation of contracts, and it actually stems from the previous financial year, so 18-19. And it relates to contract variation for a period of 2 years, and that's the reason you are seeing the impact or the final impact of the transactions in the 19-20 financial year. So the contracts were entered to, I think it was a 5-year contract that was extended for a period of 2 years. The initially regular expenditure was in the 18-19 financial year. What we did when the finding was raised in 18-19 is that we went back to the population, because we found that a lot of our contracts had a clause that allowed us to vary contracts that was not aligned to National Treasury regulations. So we identified all those contracts where it was already past the point of preventing any regular expenditure. We quantified them, and we made sure that it goes through the process of condonement where we were able to prevent. So in situations where we had not extended the contract, we stopped those contracts, and we also made sure that if there was a business case to extend the contract, we get the necessary approval from National Treasury. And then the next one, Chair, relates to the declarations in the supply chain management space. And it relates to declaration of directors' information and the SPD4 forms where any supplier that we transact with has to give certain information. We were able to get declarations from suppliers or suppliers that we transacted with in South Africa and most of our African offices. Where we struggled was in Europe, where they would fill in the form and actually declare that there's no conflict of interest. But when it comes to providing private information or director's information, most of the European suppliers did not want to provide their info, and they cited GDPR and privacy laws. What we've done, Che, as a mitigation, and I can give an update, because when we were dealing with the audit report, we had committed to fixing it by writing to Treasury to get an exemption. So that has been done. We've received guidance from Treasury in terms of how to treat this so that we don't have repeat findings that relate to this non-compliance. And then the other internal control area, Chair, that had issues was the ICT management side. And it was mainly on the ICT governance side of our information systems. What we did, and I can confirm that this was done already in 2020, that we went back, identified all the AG findings and gaps that we identified in the audit report that related to ICT, and made sure that we then resolve them and deal with any ICT governance issues that were raised by the AG. So the ICT management side has been resolved. And then on the annual financials side, there were issues around the revenue line item and the misstatement in the revenue line item. The accounting adjustment was passed, and it was, in fact, it did not form part of overs and unders, and it was prior to the issuance of the audit report, this line item was corrected. I'll pause there and hand back to the CEO.
Thank you. My screen just froze. Okay. I just want to take the members back quickly on slide 24, the one that
relates to the collaboration with the provinces. As you know, that tourism is a concurrent mandate. At each of the 9 provinces, you have your provincial tourism authority. It reports to an MEC, and we always are looking for areas of alignment between the two. The last thing you want sometimes is to show up at an international event or any event for that matter, and you see a South. For a common cause. In the ideal world, honorable members, adding up 9 APPs of the provincial tourism authorities should sync up with SA Tourism's one. But unfortunately, that is not the case. So we put in these MOUs that we signed with the different players in the provinces and to actually highlight some of these. Whether it's marketing, so whenever we do a domestic campaign, there must be synchronization because, you know, national is not a destination. Essentially, everything happens at a provincial level. Events, similarly, they would happen in a specific space, business events, market access platforms, our technology play, quality assurance, and this looks at the grading side, research and information, to make sure that we are all having the same hymn sheet, that no one's got a different set of data that they're using that essentially is not aligned. Digital platforms, I spoke about earlier on, and then transformation and new entrance into the market, you know, how we bring about SMEs. So when you identify SMEs, they typically come from the public space and are included on the different platforms. Capacity building and support, so whatever it is, resources we are sitting on, we extend that at times, you know, to the provinces as well. And then also alignment with other state agencies or departments, you know, Brand SA, DECO, SAA, the time and everything else there to make sure that there is that alignment. This then gives you a sense in terms of what we did, you know, for the period under review with the provinces as well. And, you know, the lion's share comes in the bid support, which we kind of highlighted. You look 2 years in advance in order to find some of those activities, essentially, basically, over there. Hosting is also a very big one, where we bring specific media, journalists, influencers to really come and support the products on the ground over there. And then this gives them some international exposure from the likes of Global CNBC as an example there. Right. This slide really talks about then in terms of our focus that came at the latter part of the year under review but is swinging quite heavily into the current environment. And that is the focus on villages, townships and small dorpies, essentially shining the spotlight in areas that typically don't get much activity as South African tourism, to encourage people to go off the beaten track, to support the small establishments by actually spending money with them that they help them to be sustainable as well. Part of our enterprise and supply development program, and that's aimed at producing a singular pipeline or, you know, introducing SMEs into the market itself. At the moment, we have different parts of SME activity. We're now bringing together under one specific program that becomes measurable over a certain amount of time as well, to make sure that our work that we do in the SME space is both visible and also, you know, making sense from an agenda perspective. Honourable members, I'm now going to be going to the latter part of the slide, but essentially just finishing it off, that risk management obviously forms part of our strategy as SA Tourism. Nothing that you can do doesn't have a risk element within the perspective. The board keeps a very close eye on our risk management policy and framework, which they approve, and these are almost the guidelines that we work within, you know, as things change. And you can appreciate that in the current environment that we're in, risk becomes front and center. And our view of risk is not so much a showstopper, but understanding the risk and coming up with mitigating circumstances around it. As I said earlier on, is that we operate in 12 different jurisdictions, 12 different currencies, at times 10 different time zones as well. And understanding the nuances in all of them becomes quite challenging. And also implementing a PFMA, which was designed for a South African environment, a South African context, doesn't quite fit in well in Nigeria, doesn't quite fit in well in Brazil, doesn't quite fit in well in Australia, as an example. But yet this environment that we have to work within as well. So part of the work that we've got to do is to constantly sweep and make sure that the AG and the National Treasury
appreciate and understand the environment that we work in those spaces and give us any amendments that are appropriate over there without it being seen as non-compliance to a South African generated approach, basically, to risk management on that perspective. And that's ongoing as well. You can even understand, you know, labor laws as an example. So when we have transactions from a staff overseas, we actually have to hire lawyers in country who actually understand those labor laws and can help us to navigate basically around this. Then this last slide just talks about internal audit, which is basically giving assurance both to board and also the stakeholders as well, where proactively, you know where there are findings, you know, and also any material aspects being brought up by the AG, proactively then our internal audit unit would then start to look at ways that we can actually, you know, repair, fix, mitigate any of those so they don't recur again. So you've got to look at it as a continuous improvement from that perspective and that side. The audit risk committee, which is part of the board committee, essentially oversees the internal audit function. And the audit plan becomes a program that is implemented out throughout the year. Honourable members, that is the end of our presentation to all of you. Thank you very much for your attention, and we look forward to your questions. May I hand back to the Chair of SA Tourism, please. Thank you.
Thank you, CEO, Chair of the Select Committee. We are at your mercy for questions or clarity or further comments. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair of the Board and the CEO, and as well as the CFO. At this stage, then we'll allow honourable members to ask questions. I see end of honourable Boshoff so far. Okay, you can go ahead, honourable Boshoff. But also, there's a CEO that you must take note of. There's also a question on the chat from honourable Matebula. She's having a network problem, so she's unable to use her microphone. Thank you. Honourable Boshoff, over to you.
Thank you very much, Chair. Good afternoon to all the presenters, and thank you for the presentation. If I may ask, we all know that every country globally has been negatively impacted with respect to all tourism related businesses, etc., etc. What engagement has taken place with the tourism boards of the countries that mostly visit the African or the South African continent to see how each of these countries together with South Africa can assist each other to ensure that tourism again grows and becomes the greatest contributor to our GDP. If I remember correctly, it was the CEO that spoke about, or yes, it was the CEO that spoke about the beds, etc., how many beds have been booked, etc., etc. And he mentioned something to the effect that travelers, domestic travelers, are making use of staying over with family and friends, most probably to try and limit the exposure to COVID. But have you, as the South African Tourism Board, engaged with the hospitality industry to see how they can make their businesses more attractive to ensure they remain open and they remain with the number of employees they currently have? It would be a sad day if most of our domestic travellers are going to continue making use of family and friends, because we'll see more and more businesses closing down. I know we have gradings 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 star, but whilst everybody is in a financial strait, is there no way that engagements could take place to get more domestic travel by lowering the costs of their rooms and etc. For evening overstays or for a week booking, etc., etc. What I'd also like to know is what programs are in place to make South Africa more attractive to our domestic tourists. There are many, many beautiful places in South Africa that the majority of our people have not visited because they just cannot afford it. If one could engage with the Shosha Loza Rail, for instance, to see if they cannot reach out to the majority of South Africans to make it attractive, especially in regard to the prices that are charged to, if you want to travel by rail, it's, let's say, for instance, 700 Rand for the compartment. Can't they make it a little cheaper to ensure that our people that have never been able to travel to see other parts of the country is more attractive? I take the Sandparks program in September. It's a great initiative. It gives the opportunity to our youth and our young ones who are going to be the future to be able to visit game reserves in their areas. If we could look at something similar to that. The tourism-related businesses that have closed down, do you engage with them to see how they can be assisted to maybe get them to reopen again? You spoke of the South African Tourism Trade Show, but the problem is not all SMMEs, the smaller businesses, can attend these trade shows to be able to promote their product or products. What assistance is given by SAT to these people to assist them in growing their business and making their business more profitable and to advertise their businesses? Thank you very much, Chair. That would be the end of my contribution. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honourable Moiman.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me start also by extending all of greetings to the board and the management of South African Tourism, and also secondly to express my appreciation from the presentation that was given. Just some few issues for myself. And under program one, Chair, the resignation of 13 staff members is a concern to me, particularly given the importance of stability at the leadership level. So that becomes critical to get a sense in terms of is there a sign that things are not healthy? Why such a number? Of course, mindful of the fact that two of the 13, their contract had expired. But the stability at the management level is quite important for the proper governance of this entity. Secondly, Chair, National Tourism Visitor Information System, vis-a-vis the dashboard. I want to get a sense as to the nature of the conflict. conflict of interest between the two. is it something that can be managed? Because while the dashboard was developed, one of the reasons that is attributed to failure to launch it is attributed to the National Tourism Visitor Information System. Who owns this system? Is it the system that is under the management of the entity, or is it something outside? It's important just to ensure that it must not recur, because I think what is quite critical is that once an issue has been identified, the expectation is that in terms of the audit action plan, that must be dealt with. under program 3, leisure tourism marketing, while we appreciate the complexity of the pandemic on the ability of the entity to meet its target, both in terms of international tourism arrival and foreign direct spend, it will be important just to get a sense in terms of the provincial memorandum of understanding, which one get a sense that it was not signed. If it was signed, I think that's give me an assurance on that. If it is not, probably let's try to get a sense in terms of what could be done to make sure that there is a convergence in terms of the ability of the entity to achieve its targets, because the sense that one gets is that the province, the failure to have a provincial memorandum of understanding side has an impact in terms of the geographic spread of the international arrivals, which obviously impact on the target that you have set. So I'd be quite happy if one could get a sense as to what is the current situation with regard to this memorandum of understanding. Other than that, I think I'm comfortable, Chair, in terms of the commitment raised by the management in terms of addressing issues from the Auditor General. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Are there any other hands? Ms. Solomon, can you read out the questions on the chat?
Okay, thank you, Chair. First question is from Honourable Matabula. The question states, what is the department's plan in making sure that South Africa is safe and attractive place for COVID for tourists? And the second question is a second question from Honourable Boshoff. It's a similar question in terms of what is being done to ensure the safety of tourists in respect of crime, but also in respect of COVID safety. Not sure if the questions are heard, Chair.
Okay, no, that's why.
I missed the question though. Sorry.
Okay, if I can just repeat that. What is the plan to ensure that South Africa is safe and attractive place for tourists? And what is being done to ensure that not only are the safety of tourists protected in respect of crime, but also in terms of COVID safety?
Okay. Can I also make some comments? With regard to corporate management, can I suggest that perhaps the corporate management of the SAT be
aligned to the corporate management of the department. Because with regard to the department, which we just met in the morning, there are other performance indicators that they have included, which I think the entity should also do the same. For example, CEO, with regard to the vacancy rate, that's also one of the problems that why you could not meet your planned target. The way the department has put it, it says vacancy rate not to exceed 10% of the funded establishment. So that will be then their target. I see that what you currently, even what you have not been able to achieve, is also still under 10%. So you wouldn't have therefore the red color if perhaps it was put the same way that the Department of Tourism has put it, that the vacancy rate not to exceed 10%. Because your target was 7, but you achieved 8, which for me is still under the 10% that is regulated by the Department of Public Service and Administration. But also with regard to the employment equity, there's a specific target of a minimum of 50%. So if you could have also, we must know how many women in the senior management of the entity, as well as a target on the disability, as well as the workplace skills plan. What target do you have for the workplace skills plan? We've also, under the same program of corporate management, you need to tell us the indicator, performance indicator around the communication strategy or the ICT management. But also the department has a 30% expenditure on the procurement of goods and services from the SMMEs. That is a target that they have in, and they have actually achieved it. So I would add that as you will be dealing with your APPs, that you cooperate these areas as well. Including the president in the State of the Nation address has indicated that the cabinet had agreed of a 40% set aside for women businesses. If also that could perhaps be included in your APPs, because I take it that the State of the Nation need to be implemented by all the government departments and government entities. The other point that need to come out under this particular program is senior managers that have signed a declaration with regard to the conflict of interest. On program 3 and 4, I take the point that you're making, CEO, with the collaboration between the SAT and the provinces, but there are specific numbers in program 3 and program 4, as well as program 5 for that matter, in terms of domestic tourism, how many, you know, people, all those. We will still, as you correctly pointed out in your opening, that this select committee or NCOP broadly is interested to know what are the footprints in the provinces in terms of the work that you're doing. So therefore, in future, we do appreciate that as you report in terms of your programs, we need to know what are the footprints, how do these programs express themselves in the provinces.
Thank you very much. If we could have responses.
Thank you, Chair and honourable members. We appreciate the questions as posed to the team. Noting that some of the questions may be better responded to by the parent Department of Tourism. So how we'll approach those, Chair, if you allow, is we'll feed them back because the DG is not with us, unfortunately, so that maybe they are responded to in writing. And then the rest of the questions, the CEO and the team will respond to. And then if there are others that they've left out, as we'll be seeking the ones that respond to as board members, will come in to close the gaps. So if I may request the CEO to then start with the team as they are here to respond to the specific questions.
Okay.
Thank you, Chairs. May I then just redirect the team in the following order, please? Let's start with the Chief Operating Officer, followed by the CMO, followed by the CCBO, then the CFO, and then lastly, Tony. In that order, please, can you just whip through some of the questions that the committee has put through, and then I'll close up when you guys are done. Thank you. Over to you, CEO.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. I'm going to take a couple of questions that have been raised, starting with the domestic market. When we look at our domestic market, one of the things that we've done, because we...
If you don't have a problem, Samin, with your camera, you can please switch it on.
Is it not on? Sorry. Sorry, apologies, Chair. I'm not sure if...
Yes, we see you now, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, I wanted to sign. So starting with the domestic tourism, the CEO, when presenting, he did allude to the fact that it would give a bit of detail as to what are the things that we had focused on to try and grow domestic tourism. I think the first thing that I can share with honourable members is that within the domestic team, we've looked at how do we then come up with a targeted communication plan that would ensure that all of us, when I say all of us, all the players, South African tourism together with provinces, we can align. And I think the critical part of that communication strategy was really how we addressed the key barriers that we knew at that time. That they were affecting the performance within the domestic space. The number one key barrier was the issue of access. And access really talks to the issue of affordability, but also it talks to access to information of people knowing exactly what needs to be done or what are the things that they can do in and around the country. So what we did was the use, obviously, of platforms that was going to obviously reach our reach in terms of the people that were targeting. There was a campaign that was launched then. The anchor message around the campaign was really, it's your country, enjoy it. And basically the anchor message, honorable members, was essentially giving South Africans that bragging right of saying South Africa belongs to everyone and everyone must get out of their houses and start traveling. What we've done to ensure that the conversion element of getting people to travel, we partnered with products, we partnered with experiences, attraction across the value chain for them to give discounted rates. Because one of the things that we have, or it's coming out of the insights and intel around domestic travel, is that South Africans actually responds well to deals and specials and discounted rates. And we have seen our partners, the private sector, the products, the experiences, the airlines, the transport providers by road, really coming to the party to say we're willing to actually partner with SA Tourism to drive the message which says South Africa is accessible to its people. And some of the discounts that they gave at the time was up to 50%. and you can travel anytime, you know, during the year, within a year. And we've seen that that part works. The other thing that we've done a lot was to train a lot of our products and experiences, a lot of tourism providers, like your tour operators, the DMCs, on how to really package for South Africans. You would agree with us that for the longest time, the sector itself and the players themselves, the sector players, have really focused on international markets. So therefore, domestic has never been seen as that market that could actually yield you know, potential results in terms of their business. So we spend a lot of time, you know, training our partners on how to package for domestic. But really, the winning formula here has been the collaboration with provinces, because, you know, after coming up with that anchor message around it's your country, provinces bought into it. So you would find Limpopo actually extending, you know, that campaign by saying it's your Limpopo, Gauteng joined in, KZN joined in. And I think we're able to actually build scale and communicate with one message. And I think that was actually a winning formula. That's why we've seen the results that we've seen. There was a question around whether we've engaged, you know, the sector to analyze and to adjust for the local markets. I think it's safe to say that quite recently, in recent time, we've seen products themselves, attractions themselves, looking at how they adjust their pricing structure towards significant dates like your Valentine's Day. Now it's Easter is coming, but we've also seen that during the festive season, where products were really giving special discounted rates for South Africans to try to use their establishments, to use their products, to come and experience some of the products that they have. Another initiative that was quite good for this market, just to support the question around have we engaged the sector. We've seen a lot of products willing to actually introduce payment options such as lay-by, which we know that is very important for this market. So a lot of people would want to actually save up for your travel. So in fact, if you look at the travel trade, those who have never played in the space were actually even saying, we're willing to actually give a price and people can pay 6 months to pay for that kind of a trip. So those are some of the elements or some of the initiatives that we've started working with products and the private sector to start adjusting for the domestic market. I'm going to move to a question, I think, around obviously if you look at the small businesses and having trade shows, some of them might not afford, and actually talk to some of the initiatives that we're doing to ensure that we create that those platforms that will begin to assist our products for visibility, but also for transactions. So in this current financial year, what we're doing is we're finalizing the development of our business to business portal, which essentially we call a marketplace. The objective of this marketplace is to ensure that we have a live database of products that we have in our country, particularly the small ones. So what we're going to do is we're going to pilot with small products, experiences and attractions. They are going to register on this portal. That's the first phase. And I think the second phase is building a consumer interface to that platform, because it doesn't help building a B2B platform and consumers can't really access the information and they can't access these establishments. So the interface with consumers would essentially do two things. Drive traffic in terms of their business, but also increasing the awareness of the existence of those businesses by starting by local consumers. But the third, the second part that we're trying to drive is when visitors or consumers visit that portal, they should be able to transact, eventually, because it doesn't help having this portal just to expose and there's no transaction platform. So those are the things that we're trying to do to ensure that over and above your trade show, the exhibitions and trade shows, we as South African Tourism developed that platform where our SMEs would actually enjoy the benefit of marketing, but also would enjoy the benefit of traffic being pushed into their respective business and the respective businesses. But over and above just the normal trade shows that we have, As SA Tourism, we do participate in other, you know, platforms than pre-COVID. We participated in, I think, about 7, if not 8 strategic platforms internationally. And of those platforms, we would always set aside a number of spots for SMEs. And this is a project that we did in collaboration with the department, wherein there would be an identification process of SMEs that are ready for that market access. And within the NCP space, they would cordon off, you know, certain spaces so that we allow for our SMEs to have those kind of, you know, that kind of, you know, exposure. So I think there are, you know, various ways in which we're doing as an entity to ensure that we actually expand our market access program so that we can touch as many SMEs, you know, as possible. I'm going to move into, there was a question around the issue of women. I think when we closed the year, I think currently I can report that if you look at our total staff establishment, 63% of our staff establishment are women, and this is now looking at the South African establishment only. But if you add our country offices, the percentage, you know, certainly goes up to about, 63. And then if you add, internship, because we're running an internship program or a learnership program, the women representation of that establishment is about 65%. I must say, honorable members, that this is a metric that we track all the time, and then it's part of our annual performance plan. And I think we welcome the fact that the chair has suggested that we should be looking at our corporate management KPIs and begin to look at how do we include some of the things that are statutory in nature. However, I can assure you that those KPIs are sitting at our operational plans, and it's something that we track all the time. These are the metrics that we actually report, on a quarterly basis to our board. There was a question, Chair, around... resignations, the 13 resignations. I can assure the chair that it is definitely not a sign that things are not being healthy in the organization. The CEO, whilst he was presenting, you would have seen our level of staff engagement had certainly improved year after year. I must say that if you look at our staff complement and look at movements, attrition movements, South African Tourism has got a high rate of retention. So not a lot of staff members actually leave the employer of SA Tourism. If you look at average time spent in the organization is around 10 to 15 years. So which shows you that there is a level of retention, within the business. However, I can assure you, Chair, that out of those 13 resignations that you see on the annual report, most of them are resignations because people have found either promotional posts elsewhere, which is also a sign that South African Tourism is indeed a learning organization where we really take pride in our learning and development progress. Most of them, definitely, it was a move in terms of promotional posts. I'm just looking if there's something else that I might have missed. I think that's it from my side. If I've missed anything, CEO, you would have let me so that I can go back to it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Stendi, sir. May I then ask the Chief Marketing Officer, Zilga, come through, please.
Thank you very much, CEO. Thank you very much, Chairman and honorable members. I just want to respond to three things very quickly. There was a question around the provincial coordination of our efforts. In the course of this current financial year, what we did is we revived the CMO's forum, which is a forum of all the chief marketing officers from all the provincial tourism authorities, together with ourselves and our colleagues from the national department. In terms of being able to coordinate all of our marketing efforts. We were able to achieve two significant pieces of work. First was to integrate all of our messaging just so that we can get consistent communication coming out of the provinces and aligning it to what we're communicating at a national level. Because as the CEO quite rightly said, you know, tourism doesn't happen in the air, it happens on the ground. So that was the first thing that we did. The second thing that we did was to then work together with each of the provinces to recollect a whole lot of content for marketing purposes. Now, as honorable members would appreciate, previous to the COVID pandemic, all of our content had people without masks. So just trying to communicate, you know, with the market in a way that is sensitive to our times, we're running into challenges that you didn't have the appropriate attraction with pictures with people enjoying the attraction, but in, you know, wearing masks and observing the protocols. So we have to make sure that we collect all of that content with people in a COVID compliant setting so that we can actually drive communication both domestically and internationally as markets mutually open to us. So all of that was put together. We ran a campaign jointly towards the end of the year, which we are continuing to do, you know, even now, you know, just making sure that we continue to collect all of that content and be ready when we need to go out into the rest of the world. So that is just one example or two examples of how we've been able to collaborate. And as we've been doing planning now, in terms of planning the work going forward, we have spent time together with all of the CMOs to make sure that we don't duplicate effort and that we actually find best of breed ideas, because ideas are not unique to one organization. So we actually find ideas from the different provinces and we try and move them around so that we can have economies of scale in terms of the things that we're doing. So I just wanted to give assurance that that work is in fact happening right now. The second issue that I wanted to tackle is the issue around our collaboration with the product owners. Now, there are two levels to this. So firstly, when we were running, you know, the campaign towards the end of the year, we also ran an SMME workshop in each of the provinces just to find out what's happening on the ground and focusing more on business survival skills. And what we found there is that most SMMEs did not have a digital presence. So most SMMEs were CSI or enterprise development projects of bigger establishments. And that now that those bigger establishments are under pressure, they're keeping all the business to themselves. And the SMME environment simply could not cope because they didn't have a digital existence. So that was the first one. And even those that did have a digital presence did not have advanced digital marketing skills to be able to leverage that presence in a COVID environment. So that is one of the areas, together with our colleagues at the NDP and with the product owners, that we're beginning to focus on, because it's not just an issue of, you know, those SMMEs surviving. It is also a matter of us having fresh new propositions when the markets begin to open up. And also just from a domestic tourism standpoint, those SMMEs have more flexible business models to be able to meet the competitive price points that the market would need right now in order for us to drive domestic tourism. So that area has been one of our biggest focus and will continue to be so as we go along in our collaborative marketing effort. I must point out one particular point, because I think it was Honorable Boshoff that raised it about communicating with young people. You know, in the digital space, one of the things is cyber activism, you know, is a real thing. So we're finding that a lot of young people are saying, well, you didn't have a price point for me when you were getting all of this international business. You know, why should I support you now? And one of the things that we're communicating effectively with the trade is to say, look, we need to take this as a learning curve, really. To say, look, even when international markets open up and we begin to get international travel coming in, we need to make sure that we continue to have a very competitive domestic and a very active domestic product platform and offering, so that should a similar thing happen in the future, we don't end up with young people saying, you know, we're not going to support you because you didn't have a place for us, you know, when your business was booming. So all of these learnings we're bringing on board to make sure that as we move forward, that we do so with sensitivity, but that we do so carrying every generation, because those are future travelers, that we treat them with respect now so that in future we have their patronage as they move up in the economic strata. And then finally, just from an international standpoint, you know, each international market is unique. The teams that are looking at, you know, that manage our marketing effort in each of the markets have been spending a lot of time, because we can't do market-facing work. We've been spending a lot of that time working the stakeholder environment and working the media environment, because, and it is part of our global advocacy program. So that when the market opens up, we've been able to build new relationships, hold on to the ones that we had, and make sure that we actually do have an inbound platform to build on when those markets open up. It is a very tricky one because, I mean, the communication environment, you know, vacillates between tourism, COVID. There's multiple topics, you know, that are being thrown around. But we are managing it as diligently as possible, giving assurance to all our partners and making sure that our tourism platform remains intact. So I just thought that I should respond on those three, and then I'll hand over back to the CEO. Thank you.
Thank you, Mzee. Let's go further down quickly, please, to the Chief Conventional Bureau Officer looking after the business event space, Amanda. She's also acting for Tourism Experiences Program 4. Yes, over to you,
Amanda. Thank you so much, CEO. Thank you, Chair and Honourable Members and members of our board and our Chairperson. I would touch on, I think, three things that I can highlight, but just generally maybe to just talk a little bit about the meeting space or the convention space. Whilst, as you can imagine, and the CEO also alluded to that, you know, it kind of like came to a standstill, but it also gave us an opportunity, you know, so there are opportunities. Number one, the first opportunity is that, you know, you kind of like get new businesses going because people are doing hybrid. And as we say that, you know, these days when you have a meeting, it's actually a TV production. So there's a different, the different sectors that are now also assisting, you know, if we have virtual big conferences. So there is, of course, there's a negative because people are not coming directly, but at least we can give, you know, still that message that we are able, you know, that our academic environment is still well, and that people can still, you know, put forward their papers and their research as it is accustomed to, you know, to these big conventions. But then just to link with it, I think specifically also back to the provinces and how we are working, we also, just as the CMO said, have a forum where we get all the people in the provinces, in the tourism authority that are looking after conventions or the meeting space to come together on a quarterly basis and really discuss on how can we further you know, the management and the marketing of South Africa as a meetings destination. And one of the projects that I'm sure that we will come again and, you know, when we are further with it down the line, but is the association, and the CEO also spoke about it, the association program, where we identified 27 towns, small towns, to the likes of, you know, of a Saldanha or a Cullinan, you know, here in Gauteng, where we want to build, and specifically with small businesses, build capacity so that we can start to host smaller meetings in these places that they can get themselves ready one day to also then have, you know, the bigger, the medium conferences, if I can put it that way, where they can host in these conferences. And I think that is really exciting, you know, to see that we could build capacity into smaller places and also then contributing to the spreading of the business to provinces. And then linked with that, and I just want to go then to the grading side, is that we also launched a pilot project in the Eastern Cape that is called the Basic Quality Verification. And it is really identifying products, smaller products, but also products that are unique in nature, like homestays, to get them ready to eventually also come into the mainstream and offering that that we really need, and that I think the COO also spoke about it, the unique experiences. What is unique that we can offer from a South African perspective, but most important that it is quality assured as well. That is really an exciting project that I do believe, and we will of course roll it out to all the provinces after we look at the lessons learned, you know, in this basic quality verification pilot project. And then just to link that also to the COVID safety, I think there was a question around that specifically, Chair. We also in December and in this quarter, we also rolled out a COVID support program. We very much around and link back to the CMO, also very much around information and visibly seeing that, you know, that we are ready to receive people, that it is safe, people adhere to protocols. You know, making sure that that people know what is the standard that they need to put there, so that people have confidence to go to sleep, you know, and to have a holiday to these places. And by the end of this quarter, this financial year, we hope that we will be between 30% and 40% of all graded establishments that we will roll out this COVID program, support program. And then lastly, also linked to that from the meetings perspective, we're working very, very closely with the industry, and they already hosted more than one, I think 4 or 5 of these events where they demonstrate how to apply the protocols, how to make sure that people do, that people are able to come to the venues and to the and to meetings. Of course, we know at the moment in the lockdown it's only 50, so it does have a little bit of an impact, you know, on what kind of meetings. But the industry per se are very much ready to host meetings, whether it is hybrid or whether it is a physical meeting. That is definitely, you know, in our messaging, definitely out there, Chair. I think that I think with the platforms, I think the CU did speak about the SMMEs, and again, you know, with the fact that we are online or that we are virtual, actually,
sorry, Amanda, I want to give you 30 seconds to wrap up. I'm just cognizant of time.
It actually helped us to you know, to also make sure that SMMEs are on these virtual platforms and learn to participate in the bigger shows. Thank you so much.
CFO, I'd like to give back the board a chance to speak at 2:15. So between me and you, we've got 3 minutes to wrap this up in turn.
Okay, CEO. I'll deal with the two questions. One on the supply side that was raised by Honorable Boshoff, around the work that we're doing, the engagement with product owners, especially in the current economic environment. Amanda has touched on the COVID support program and the work that we're doing there. So I'm not going to go into that. The one thing I wanted to confirm to honorable members, that one of the key decisions that we took when looking at the supply side and finding ways to support them not have increased input costs during this current environment, we made a decision to suspend grading fees for all our graded establishment members. It's not a significant amount, but it goes a long way in decreasing their input costs. And then there was also a question from Honorable Muyumeng, apologies, around Program 5, the information audit finding, and you asked, how do we make sure that we don't have repeat findings? And I just wanted to assure you that part of the mitigations that we have
in place is the tracking of audit finding remedial action, and that's done independently by our internal audit function and reported to our audit committee on a quarterly basis. So those are the two questions that I wanted to touch on.
Thank you, Nomulela. And then may I please ask Tony to come in. Tony is the head of government relations for us, and he interacts directly with the provinces. There was a question around the MOUs and everything else there. So Tony can give us a bit of a sense in terms of how that relationship is managed between SA Tourism and the provinces. Tony, you literally have 1 minute.
Thank you very much, CEO, and greetings to the honourable members, the chair and the board. I think just to indicate on the relationship with provinces, learning from the past in terms of how we've been interacting is that we are using those learnings to now develop what we call performance-based agreements. So we are in that process now, and we will be concluding before the end of this financial year, where we are now looking at, instead of looking at the MOUs from a from an activity-based activity-based arrangement, we are now factoring the performance areas, and these are some of the things that we are actually looking at it broadly across the organization. So all the members that have presented now, the EXCO members, is that within the areas of their work, there will be areas that will deal with the provincial arrangement. I think the CMO has already alluded to the CMO forum, but I think at the CEO forum level, we do meet with provinces as part of the CEO forum. And I must also indicate that we've also started having the chairperson's engagements with provincial boards as well. So that has pretty much given us insights and more, so that we look at more of effectiveness of the implementation of this MOU. So we will see a different, we'll see a shift in terms of how we are proceeding with the relationships. And I must say that the COVID environment has presented us with a great opportunity to constantly engage and look at areas of collaboration. So we started obviously with the summer campaign that the CMO has alluded to. So we are in that process of concluding, and I must say that it will be a pretty much different approach moving forward with provinces, and we are in the right, we're actually in the right direction in terms of how we're going to be dealing with that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tony, and thank you, team, for fielding some of the questions there. I just want to answer one or two. There was a question from Honourable Member Boshop around engagement at an Africa level. I also am part of a CEO forum of African tourism authorities. What we had done a couple of years back, we converted the Indaba to Africa's travel Indaba. And in there, we typically we have a meeting amongst the tourism agencies within the different countries. So far, there's one in Ghana, as an example, that we have participated in terms of the webinar. There was another one in Rwanda. So there is certain interaction to make sure that South Africa cannot be in isolation, that our recovery is linked to the continent's recovery. And it's in our interest, for example, for all of those, especially in SADC, to also move around there at the same time as well. The issue around pricing and affordability is something that is always top of mind. But I just want to remind the committee members, the honorable members, that we are in a free market environment, that businesses, industry, it is absolutely up to them as to what price to charge. But this environment is really put together the forces of supply and demand. And I think the combination of the two then determines the price. They cannot rely on price of old, essentially, because if they are priced themselves in the market, there won't be any people coming. But what we've seen, however, is that some prices have gone down by 75%, 50%. Some have not gone at all, gone down at all, but yet they remain full. And that sometimes is a subset of our inequality as a country where the top end is able to still afford because they're no longer traveling overseas as well. Some smaller players are not able to go to trade shows. You're absolutely right. We have a unit that what we call, speed marketing. Yes, speed marketing. And essentially, this is about engagement at product level to make sure that they're connected to part of the ecosystem. If you are just a B&B by yourself and you've got 5 rooms, you're just selling a bed, essentially. And what we've seen now, the market is looking for engagement, they're looking for immersion, they're looking for life-changing experiences. So therefore, how then does this get connected to the bigger ecosystem, basically, on that side? Let me hold it there, if I may, and then I'll throw it back at the chair. I'm just cognizant of time and taking too long.
Thank you very much for your time. Chair.
Thank you, CEO and the team. Quickly, Honorable Chair, the questions I referred to that will request indulgence of the committee that we perhaps get written submissions from the department relate to the issues of tourist security, including the one of the COVID response, because there are a number of interventions and initiatives that the department is engaged in, but I would prefer that so that the information is current, that the committee gets the responses directly from the department. The colleagues that I'm with, the Advocate Mujangu, Gloria Serobe, and Lindy Western Menicido, I'm not sure whether there are any further input from your side. If not, I will take the opportunity to thank the committee, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members for the opportunity that we've had to present our annual report. I see Advocate Mujangu would like to have a word.
Good afternoon, Chair of the committee. Just one point I wanted to raise, the issue of crime and COVID. From a safety point of view, I just wanted to make the point, Chair, that you've made, to emphasize that I think members of the committee would know that this matter, over and above it being a tourism matter, is the collective responsibility of all of us as South Africans to ensure that we constantly communicate the message that says that we are working very hard to make sure that our country is safe from both a crime and COVID point of view, and to communicate all the interventions that are being made to try and deal with the two challenges. Just a point I wanted to make, Chair. Thank you very much. And also, I'm certain that the Minister briefed the committee on the Tourism Equity Fund. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much. Are there other board members who want to say something? Mr. Roberts?
No, okay. Chairman. I'm fine. Thank you, Chairman.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Ms. Lindy Way?
Thank you very much, Chairman. I'm also covered. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you very much. I think there was a follow-up question from Honorable Boshok. Honorable Boshok, can you please ask your follow-up question?
Yes, thank you very much. When the presenter was speaking about the SMMEs, assistance being given by the Tourism Board, she spoke about the first phase. If she could just give an indication as to when the first phase will start, or has it already started being implemented? Thank you.
I didn't get the answer on the dashboard vis-à-vis the National Tourism Visitors Information System.
Okay. CEO?
Yes, Chair, thank you. Chair, can I ask you to please complete the one on the B2B, and then I'll pick up the one on the dashboard and NDVIS.
Thank you, CEO. Honourable Member, the B2B platform will be launched by the 31st of March, so we are concluding the testing phase now, but by the 31st of March, it's part of our current APP that it should be launched by 31st of March. The first quarter of the next financial year, that's where we're going to now build scale in terms of allowing all the SMEs to start registering. For this year, it's just to build the platform and actually launch it out. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yes, this is also probably part of the one that can be answered by the department, but I'll start to kind of give you context.
that NTVIS essentially was an offset agreement entered between Amadeus, who supplies what we call GDS equipment to SAA and also the military, the Army, Navy, on the flies, Navy aircraft, anyway. And they entered into an agreement with the DTI that because they got this contract, they will do an offset agreement in the country. Now, NTVIS was one of those offset agreements. And essentially, it was about setting up a data center, data hub, in terms of all these activities, basically, within the tourism space for the tourism industry. Then the DTI signed an agreement with the Department of Tourism, and hence is how we got involved. However, down the line, what transpired essentially is that we were not very clear as to the ownership or the propriety or ownership of all of this once Amadeus leaves the country, right? Does it belong to Amadeus or does it belong, you know, to the country as well? So those issues were not sorted. Secondly, as well, is that there was also a view that, yes, they're doing this now for offset agreement, but as soon as that obligation is met, they could hike up the price 10 times. And you inevitably get stuck up in a system that actually become kind of stronghold into. Now, that issue between NTVIS and its future is being dealt with at the NDT kind of level. Hence, we became almost the tail end of it because we are going down that path until we're alerted to it, and they've now had to divert and actually look for our own activities, which the COO has kind of mentioned includes the B2B and the platform that we're launching soon. Thank you.
Thank you very much, CEO. Let me also take this opportunity to thank the chairperson of the board and other board members who were part of the meeting, the CEO and all the other senior officials of the NDT. Also thanks to the honorable members and as well as the officials of the department who are with us since 9 o'clock this morning, and they're also the parliamentary staff. I would suggest, Chair of the Board, that perhaps those areas that need the response of the department, we do have a direct line with the department. We will be meeting with the department on the annual performance plan. Those areas will be dealt with when we meet with the department again, when they table the annual performance plan for the 2021-2022 financial year. But also the issue of the tourism equity fund, we dealt with it as part of the report of the department, but we are still going to get a detailed presentation on the TEF, which was recently launched by the President and the Minister of Tourism and Small Business Development. So we just dealt with as part of the AP, of the annual report this morning, but we will ask as part of our program for the committee. Ask the department to give us a detailed report on the TEF. Yes. Again, then let me take this opportunity to thank you, Chairperson, and honourable board members, honourable members of the committee, the officials, both from Parliament and the department, as well as from the SAT and the guests and the media. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Thank
you, thanks, bye-bye. Bye. Bye, everyone.
Bye, Chair.
Thank you.